This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms. Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons. It was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
The Khalil Shakir contract brought on a conversation today just about, we've often had it, how much urgency the Bills should feel about their offense. Defensively, I think most people, including the Bills, probably themselves, can see it. Interior defensive line, the draft seems right for it. This or that in the secondary. You know, the defense struggled down the stretch.
Yeah, edge even. Yeah, sure.
Edge. Offense, it was always kind of a riddle to me, all the way to the end. I mentioned to Sal earlier, are we going to remember, is it going to line up for us over time? What Josh Allen's, if he wins just the one, say if, what Josh Allen's MVP season was? What will we remember it for? A couple of spectacular plays. He's always done that. It won't be easy, I think, in years to come, to necessarily remember which plays were in which season. So there's that. I think we'll remember that Diggs was gone for it because that was so prominent in the analysis the whole time.
I don't think anything is impossible to forget, but I feel like that is as close as I could come sports-wise. Like the connecting Diggs' departure with Allen, because it was a walking-off point for so much of the conversation that we had about his candidacy being enhanced, and in the end, he won it. So I don't think I'll ever forget that Diggs left the team before he won the MVP.
But somebody is going to be in a bar in Baltimore in 5 years, and they'll be arguing with a Ravens fan about Allen and Jackson, and the Ravens fan will say, well, Lamar has never had anybody as good as Stephon Diggs, and you'll be like, dude, he wasn't even on the team the year that Allen won. So,
and Mac Hollins led them in touchdown receptions, right? Sorry, I didn't mean to steal your...
But no, I mean, like...
I stole your thunder.
It's Mac Hollins leading the Bills in TD receptions this year when Allen won the award, I think is already confusing. And it just happened. Like, here's Shakir getting $60 million, up to $60 million in this deal. And everybody likes him and everybody likes it, it seems. He didn't lead the team in touchdown catches. In fact, his not being more of a touchdown guy, and neither is Kincaid yet, and I don't know what Coleman is, but he's not exactly that yet, is part of my confusion over just like how good the surrounding talent really is. on the Bills and talking on the occasion of this Shakir contract. You know, you sort of can get back into that here. Yep. There's a reason to do it.
And it can make you wonder how good it needs to be. If you can have the season you just had where you were the second highest scoring team in the league and your quarterback won MVP, like how much do you really need to dig in on making sure you've got more guys there?
That's right.
I mean, we are always going to be calling for more guys. And I think now especially, this is why, so as the days go by, the weeks go by, and these events happen, and we hear from the team, right? It was notable a few weeks ago when the season ended and Bean and McDermott took their turns talking and were sort of pointed in their criticism of Coleman. And that stood out to a lot of people, right? Like, you just don't often hear them be that direct about being feeling like they were, to an extent, if it's not unfair to characterize it this way, let down by what his season ended up being, and in particular after the injury. Because I think, like a lot of us out here, they might have thought he was tracking really well. And that, I think, enhances the letdown because it didn't continue. He didn't pick up where he left off when he was healthy enough to get back on the field. And so you hear that, and then you hear it again this week from McDermott in particular yesterday. And I'm left over here going, like, sure, like, look, I'm not done with the player, and I'm not at all trying to imply that they are because they're being public with some critique of him. But it does call into question, for me anyway, how much I want to count on him, right? That doesn't feel like a bankable thing. It I don't know, it's not quite a starting over because he knows everyone and knows the system and will have an off season to demonstrate to them that, you know, he got the message and he can show up here and you know, do more of what they need him to do or want him to do. But either way, like, that's flying blindly into a season. If you don't do something significant here, I want to be careful with significant, because significant doesn't have to mean a $29 or $30 million receiver. But it's called for. I mean, it was called for before Coleman got hurt. Before Coleman ever got criticized, they felt they needed a guy, and they went and got Cooper. And even though that didn't smash, they felt the need for it. And now I've got Coleman in question, at least from them. Boy, that to me has to enhance the need to get another guy there, whether that is a draft asset on Friday of the draft. I highly doubt it would be the first round, but maybe as soon as Friday you got to do that, or you got to dip into free agency or the trade market and see if you can find somebody, or you can just convince yourself that re-signing Amari Cooper at some reasonable rate is a good idea, which to me is like my last choice of everything that I just said might be available to them. But it is still a choice they could end up on. But it's, yeah, I guess, I'm sorry, I'm throwing coal into the engine of the wide receiver train here, because it doesn't feel that different from last year all of a sudden. They didn't, you know, part ways with Diggs, which of course led to the Coleman pick. But if the Coleman pick is sort of, we're not sure what we can count on, holy cow, you better find me a guy.
803-0550, here's Dan with us. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys, thanks for the call. I just on a Shakir note, I love the player, and I think I'm not surprised at all to hear this news today. I think he fits with the culture and with what the Bills want to do. But it just made me think, as I'm listening to you guys, about how important I'm thinking Bean values our offensive line and the faith that has been put in those guys, and rightfully so. Just when I reflect on this year, I mean, Josh is MVP. He deserved that. But that O-line as well, give those guys their flowers. They are, I think, a huge reason why Josh was the MVP and got so many rushing touchdowns, those tush pushes or whatever you call them. The guys up front have to do that. They make Cook look good, and they also cover up those deficiencies with receiver. I don't know what we're going to do as far as receiver goes moving forward, but I think it just, you know, I reflect on how great that offensive line was. Dawkins, what a player he is. Overall, I just wonder if they double down and they think that that's a main strength and they bolster that in the draft too. I could see that being surprising to me, but I wouldn't be surprised if Bean did it. So that was just a thought I had when we think about maybe where the league is going with shifting more towards the running game and big man football, and we talk about the line needs on the other side of the ball on defense, but that offensive line just, I think they're such a strength and they cover up that wide receiver deficiency, and I wonder where that factors into the overall equation this offseason.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I think the number one thing is like nobody ever missed a game, really.
And really 2 years running.
That can throw your whole thing off if you got two big injuries up front, say, and you're always moving guys around or something. But
I would never want to say never to them drafting guys that they you know fit the profile, and you know, especially if one of them's a wrestler or former wrestler.
Talk slower.
I don't need to get cute. I could see them drafting somebody on Saturday, an interior guy, whatever, a swing guy, but I think really, think about if you read Sal's piece about the offensive line, they might be as close to all set at that position overall, all three spots, the two guard spots, the center, and the two tackles. Like the primary backups are under contract, and those guys are all still, like Dawkins is the senior member of that group. I think he's older than everyone else there. And he's still, to me, in his prime, maybe at the back end of his prime, but still his prime. I don't have any urgency to spend a top 4-round pick on offensive line right now. They've got good depth. When Brown missed, the Vandermark stepped in and did well. I don't think there's much to be done there at all.
Yeah, that seems right.
Because even if you worry about 2 years in a row where you had minimal injuries, really, the year before, none, and then this year, again, Brown missed one game or part of one game, you've got the depth pieces in place. So I don't know where there's a pathway, unless for some reason they really don't like the way Cedric Van Pan Granger worked all year as a depth piece or something. And when he got into play against New England, just looked overmatched, and they feel like they need to get another guy that can play center because they don't trust him or something. I mean, if they like the guys they've got, everybody is young enough and still here. So I don't think there's any priority there. So to the caller's point, that would stun me if that happened. If they spent something before late Saturday on any kind of offensive lineman.
Thanks, Dan. Thinking again about what you might forget, not connect with Allen's MVP season. Like we talked about Mac Hollins leading them in receiving touchdowns. The fact that it's only 5 is kind of amazing by itself, that 5 would lead the team on a team that had the quarterback win the MVP.
Yep.
Allen's rushing does, you know, mitigate this, because always with him, his rushing prowess adds to his profile. He doesn't win the MVP without it. Of course, the guy he beat has his own rushing prowess, but I think Mac Hollins would be trivia. Wow, really? That was the guy? I don't even remember him. It'll be like that. Kind of the way Bill Brooks, the 1 year for the Bills, led them. Like, yes. Did he set the franchise record in touchdown catches?
Yes.
Not Reed. On a team Reed was on. So something like that. I think the really fun one will be that Cook tied the franchise record in rushing touchdowns.
Yeah. When you started, that was what – I didn't know that was where you were going to end up, but I was waiting to chime in with that. Like, that's also incredible.
It is. That you had – he tied for the league lead with 16 rushing touchdowns and tied the franchise record, and the quarterback won the MVP. How does this team not get to a Super Bowl, you know? But don't answer that. Rhetorical. Don't answer that. Or do.
Right. And Allen had 12 rushing touchdowns himself.
Right. That – always goes with like the Allen profile. Like, you know that, at least. So the other stats can be confusing, maybe.
Yeah, I think this is that the Cook point, I think, is a good one. Not because I thought of it before you even said it, but it is kind of similar to, like, Allen won the MVP over Jackson. Oh, he must have had a pile of rushing touchdowns. Well, he did kind of, but actually a guy on his own team had more. And you probably wouldn't think 5 years from now, you wouldn't. That might even surprise me 5 years from now. Like, I don't think I'll ever forget that Diggs departed and then Allen had that season and he won the MVP. But Cook having four more rushing touchdowns than Allen's 12, which is a healthy number on its own, is pretty eye-opening.
And Baltimore doesn't really, like Jackson winning the year before, it's not that different. So Hollins led the Bills with five receiving touchdowns. In 2023, Andrews led the Ravens with six. And what did Jackson do on the ground? Another 800-plus yards, five touchdowns. He's never been like a big touchdown scorer.
Right.
Not compared with Allen or like Hurts. So two other Bills in history have won this award. Thurman Thomas in 91 when Kelly finished second. And OJ in the 2,000-yard season. But it's not exactly like you have Joe Ferguson lighting up defenses and then OJ just piling in. I mean, in 1973, when OJ Simpson broke the 2,000-yard barrier and won the MVP for the season, and he started every game, Joe Ferguson threw for four touchdowns. Let that sink in.
That is amazing. They weren't a good team.
They were 9-5. They were 9-5.
Okay, well, that's better than I thought, even.
Yeah. 14 games. Three to Chandler. One to Larry Watkins. We'll never forget it. That I did forget. One to Larry Watkins.
You
Who
sure?
was Larry Watkins? I know I've heard the name. Fullback.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Braxton wasn't the fullback on that team in 73?
Well, he was on the team,
okay.
But
all right.
He's listed as running back.
Okay.
He had that in his contract.
Mm. Wow, they had two fullbacks.
Larry Watkins, I mean, they probably had three in the backfield a lot.
I don't remember seeing three in the backfield a lot. I remember seeing them in the eye a lot with Braxton in front of OJ frequently.
Larry Watkins, has he ever led the charge? He's still alive.
Well, still,
have they ever thought about
there's
that?
There's still time.
He's one of two players to catch a touchdown pass for the Bills in their historic 1973 season. I think we missed an opportunity when it was the 50 years. Maybe they did it. I don't remember this happening. Maybe they did honor Larry Watkins.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He played for a number of teams.
I'm so surprised that team ended up 9-5, honestly.
Are you?
Yeah.
They won their last four.
Yeah.
The next year was the playoff year.
Right.
That would have been a 9-5 or 10-4 team. And the 75 team was the one that set all the like scoring records, but they didn't make it. They fell apart kind of 75. That was like I'm not prepared to go to court with this. But like, I remember that OJ's year was like maybe even better than in 73.
In 75?
Yes.
Hmm.
1,800 yards, right?
I don't remember. I know he was still very good for a while. It wasn't like he just, you know, had 2003 and 73 and then disappeared.
18, 17, and 16 touchdowns, the record, that's the year that set the record Cook tied, 75. And then seven more receiving, 23 combined touchdowns. Tomlinson stuff, or Tomlinson had OJ stuff. Seven receiving touchdowns, yeah. Not bad. Not many people will. Larry King would tell you he was pretty good.
We had to do
maybe.
That.
I did mention OJ in that Larry King segment.
We had to do that again.
But that was for the
you
murders.
Did, it was, yeah, right. It wasn't football related.
That wasn't football related.
Yeah, no.
Jerry is with us. Hello.
You know, I have toyed with. You mentioned how set up they really are on offense, with the offensive line being very deep, the tight ends. I would love for them to answer maybe the defense with volume. You know, take a wide receiver with that first pick and then make the other nine picks in the draft all defense. You only have to hit on three or four of them for it to be really impactful draft on that side of the ball. Answer with volume. There doesn't seem to be a lot of need on offense at all.
I like the logic. I like the logic. I read today that the Falcons have their number was 45. I'm not sure this is every team. Like, this is the number of interviews you can have at the combine. And so they booked 45 players for interviews, and they're all defensive players. And that their offensive coaches aren't even going.
Oh, this is.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
This is the old okey-doke. They're going to draft a ton of offense.
They're going to draft another quarterback. They're going to draft Milroe.
It's smokescreen season here.
To go with Penix and Cousins.
I'm going to play them both at the same time.
Yes.
Milroe will be like a hybrid quarterback, running back type player.
I mean... it could be a smokescreen, but it's kind of a stupid one.
Yeah.
This is a bad look. It's funny. Your entire combine focus is only defense, and you're just advertising that. But you know, if your offense is bad, or if you do pick a offensive player, they'll be like, how did you work him out? Or
right.
I mean, I'm not – having said that, I'm a guy who doesn't believe in the interviews. I think the interviews just confirm your biases – and I think it's a better world if we stopped interviewing candidates. Just like, what does the record show? And then let's not take something probably meaningless from a comment or what they put on their salad or something they did when they were in high school into the equation when we're trying to figure out if they can play in the league, that kind of stuff. I think that does you more harm than good. But I want people to – I want to keep this job. And I'm going to the combine, and I'm only going to interview defensive players and not even bother to send my off. It's not even like they're in Hawaii or something. They're in Atlanta going to Indy. You just for appearances. You throw the yeah. assistant running backs coach into the bus for this thing. What about my shrimp cocktail? I'm an assistant. I'm an offensive coordinator. Right. I don't even get to go to the combine. Oh, you can pay your own. But I don't even get an invite.
That's tough.
That is tough. You're Falcons.
And you are. Oh.
I'll give you that another F word. I won't forget. We'll do that next.
You've said forget and Falcons during this segment.
Those are
both
not,
times I thought, were those your F word?
I can be sneaky. I'm not Joe, but I have another one yet. Sabres pregame at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Here's the thing about speed. Everyone loves speed. Speed and small? Mm-mm. You know, that's not how you want to have speed. You want to be speed and big and powerful. That's the right combination of speed. But yes, I do believe in speed. We do believe in speed. But speed with size and power and explosiveness, sign up for that. Yeah.
Sean McDermott, in his turn, after Brandon Bean also talking about speed and mentioning how football isn't played on a track. I don't know. Do they sound defensive?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's all so obvious. Like, of course big is better if you're talking about two guys that run the same time. Of course big is better.
Right.
It goes without saying.
Yeah. In almost any sport, I'd always take the bigger guy if their skills are equal.
When they hear these questions, do they hear the name Xavier Worthy, even though it isn't said? 5'11", he was skinny.
Yeah.
So was Devontae Smith, who also had a great Super Bowl, by the way.
Yeah, that sounds to me like the opposite of the speech that I gave a few segments ago about like the league changing and it not being enough of a deterrent for me anyway. I mean, I'm just not running one of these teams, and the Bills have gotten a lot right, but I think it's never been more acceptable, advantageous to not be as worried about whether a guy is 210 or 170, 160, whatever. Like, all kinds of guys are finding places in the league, and it's working. And, like, the rules allow for that. So, boy, I don't want to make any leaps, right, to assuming because they sound like this, therefore this and that must be true. But if that's a reason to pass on Xavier Worthy, right there, like that's your head coach talking, and I know he's not the GM, but I don't think anything happens over there that he is not signing off on. And I would go so far as to say if he hated the idea of drafting Xavier Worthy because he weighed 175 pounds, then they didn't draft Xavier Worthy because he weighed 175 pounds. And I'm not going to be happy living with that.
Well, that was really not that it's like a small thing, no pun intended, but the strike against Worthy was that he was so slight. But like you're saying, that has worked. Didn't not work for Worthy himself, actually.
Right.
Like, he got there this year. And I would be defensive about it, you know, when the trade happened. We all talked about, like, Bean's going to wear this for a long time. And for most of the season, he looked fine. Like, Worthy wasn't doing a lot. And the Chiefs looked really troubled on offense. And the Bills were winning every week. But in the end, Worthy helped get him beat. And, like, it went back right under the spotlight. Is that move. So, okay, speed, it's been years, and we know they wanted size, having, you know, the changes, Davis leaving, right? They wanted Coleman to sort of, I think, beat
Coleman
Davis.
And Mac Hollins.
Right.
We got to replace Davis, and, you know, I respect that. I'm not in the way of that. I didn't love the Hollins idea, but that worked well enough for them. You know, he led them in touchdown receptions. He caught some important passes in the playoffs and certainly was, you know, one of the best running games in the league, and he's on the field for a lot of that. And you know, so bring them their flowers for that. Okay. But, man, I don't need all my guys to be 6'3".
Well, Samuel, again, can't be ignored here.
Yeah.
Because he is smaller and fast. But he never got, you know, off the ground here this year. Here's Tony with us. Hi, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'll tell you, as I was listening to you guys and Sal kind of break down the wide receiver position a little bit, I kind of fell into a place where, for me, this is an easy one this year. I do think Hollins comes back, and he's a safety blanket for any, you know, lack of Coleman development, as well as, you know, having a role that he's carved out, even if Coleman, you know, does excel in year two. But Hollins kind of represents that safety blanket for Coleman for me. And then it's all about a one. And if it's all about a one, and we just saw them draft last year a guy in the same vicinity that you would maybe be, you know, looking to add one this year, I don't think they dip back into that well. I think it's absolutely an add from trade or free agency. And I think this one's kind of obvious. Unless I'm missing something, you know, it's possible that they could go volume and get a middle of the pack guy in free agency or trade and add a two. But I think they know that it needs to be a one. And I think the only place you're getting it is from the veteran market.
Well, I like, you know, that as, let's say, the leading possibility or a leading possibility. But at the risk of sounding like I sounded all season, Shakir not only exists, but now just got a big contract extension. I liked McConkie in the draft. Too much the same, maybe, in their perception of the players. Like, we've got Shakir. They've also got Kincaid. And the challenge with Kincaid has always been, how do we make this work? Are we going to play Shakir outside? They didn't. Like, he played some, but something like 500 snaps in the slot, 200 out wide, something like that. That was the ratio. So who is playing out wide? And how, you only get so many guys. Kincaid has to be on the field. Knox was on the field. We knew he was important. They proved it. Shakir will be on the field. These guys are fine, but I don't know. They're not going to go sign Chris Godwin. They're not signing T. Higgins. They're not trading for Metcalf, right? I mean, with the draft capital and this money and James Cook rushing for 16 touchdowns and needing to pay him, et cetera, there is not going to be that move. There could be something smaller. You could tell me that you think that could be Cooper, but I'm with Spotrac, Jannetty, when he said that's a $15 million player, Amari Cooper. Pass. Yeah. It didn't work. So there's going to be someone else.
That's a way you could talk me into Hollywood Brown, even with the injury concerns, because that's going to be half the money. And like, if I need a guy, and that, you know, and again, he's never really been a number one either, but it's another body. At least it's somebody that, if he's on the field, can stretch the field for you.
He couldn't be the same dollars?
Coming off a year where he signed for a one-year prove-it deal, missed the whole year, came back for the playoffs? I would puke on my shoes if they gave him that kind of money.
Anybody in the league.
Oh, boy, that would be nuts to me.
Well, I mean, he had an injury, and that, I guess, it's happened before, so you could write him off because of injuries. But Cooper had a wrist thing. I think more concerning was how he looked. You know, like, you know the argument that we make where you have two quarterbacks and you've seen one suck, so just pick the other one?
Yeah. Well, Spotrac's Hollywood Brown estimation is $8
million. Half.
So that's a lot more, yeah, right. That's a lot more palatable to me than paying Cooper $15 million.
I just gave you the whole thing without mentioning Coleman or Samuel or Hollins. Like, who's not here? Samuel signed. Coleman is a second-year player.
Cooper's not here.
Forget Cooper.
They need to replace him.
Probably.
I think. They better.
who else is not here? Hollins worked. Sal said if he wants to stay, he'll stay. Hollins, probably. Kincaid, Shakir, Knox, Samuel, Coleman, definitely. How much room do I have? And they did do the Cooper thing. They also did MVS and Claypool and Hamler and five other guys, you know, trying to find another variable, another weapon, and none of it really mattered, ultimately.
Hamler is back on a futures.
Hamler, baby.
I don't know. Well, now seems like an opportune time to bring up a name that I definitely will want to bring up with Chris Trapasso tomorrow, because he was tweeting this morning. He's at the Combine, and he's going to join us tomorrow at 4. He tweeted this morning, I have finally discovered a legit deep sleeper I love at wide receiver, Florida's Elijah Badger.
Good name.
And there's two clips he posted here. It's a tiny glimpse, he says, that like the way he gets off the line and moves around on the field really reminded him of Diggs. So as Tony is saying, I don't see how they're going to find a future number one in the draft. Well, I mean, what round was Diggs drafted in?
Five.
Right. What round was Puka Nacua drafted in?
Five.
Like, you just never know. And so I don't know about
Shakir.
This guy. Sure, but he's not a future number one.
No.
Those guys, I think, certainly are already. Badger, like, I don't know. It's not a name that I thought about before today. But, like, okay. Okay, Chris. Is this year's Javon Baker? He goes on to say he's got a second-round grade on the guy, so I don't know how much of a deep sleeper that is, because that's day two.
Well, I have not drafted him.
Badger?
Yeah.
Okay. Not yet.
I've drafted a lot of these guys, but not him. Okay. I don't think I've ever heard his name either before this morning.
He does not appear on the list of receivers that I have from CBSSports.com. I have a feeling that'll change.
That doesn't help.
But he's not. Yeah, right. It'd be hard for me to recognize his name if he's not one of the, I don't know how many players are listed here, actually 20 receivers on this page that I'm referencing. So
you know what? Just for you, I'm going to pick him.
Elijah Badger.
Mm-hmm. I just put him in the queue.
Future Bill.
I just put him in the queue. You got to take your risks when you're drafting in the middle of February for next year.
Love to hear it.
You got to take your risks.
Well, good luck with that.
This one time, I won't pick Trey Harris or Isaiah Bond or Restrepo or Besh or any of these other jokers. We're going to go Badger. It's Badger season over here. Sabres pregame at 6 with Paul. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. If I don't give you this F word, I lose a badge or something.
Yeah.
It's almost over. The pregame show is not going to be the time for it.
If we were really going to talk about it, we don't have time to do that, although we can just tease it for tomorrow, I suppose.
It really only needed to be short.
Oh, okay. Well, then, go ahead. I'm all ears.
Like many fans.
There it is.
When I see, there have been times when I thought of that. Like many fans, when I see a mock draft, I want to see who the Bills get and then make sort of in my mind so far only, I'm making a list. Last year, I think I made a list. When was Osiris Torrance?
2 years ago.
That year with Trapasso, I definitely made a list. Pro Football Network. Kenneth Grant.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Defensive tackle, Michigan. Kenneth Grant is a formidable defensive lineman, celebrated for his exceptional strength and disruptive presence along the interior. In fact, they go on to say Grant's quick first step and powerful hands make him a formidable force against both the run and the pass. You can't do that. You can't say formidable force, but okay. Plus, we'd already used formidable. How does formidable come across? Does that sound good? Or does that sound kind of like fine? Formidable. Sounds like something it's a little bit long for a word where it's just like, okay, formidable seems like it's sort of a half compliment.
I don't know. I think you're underselling formidable.
Maybe I am. Formidable. Okay.
What did I do?
No, we pronounce it differently. That's fine.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Fine.
Okay. How are you saying it? Say it again.
Formidable.
Oh, yeah, I say formidable.
Interesting.
I don't know who's right.
I mean, I think we're both right.
Okay.
So you think the word is a higher compliment?
I think it's a
compliment
for a defensive lineman especially, because something that's formidable, I'm going to have to deal with you. I'm gonna have to figure out a way to get through you, around you, and that might be exactly what the Bills need next to Ed Oliver.
Very well. When was the last time you heard or used the word formidable to describe a defensive tackle? Like, have you ever heard Oliver? If you heard Oliver described as formidable, would you say, like, oh, that's good? Or, like, Aaron Donald was never called formidable. He was too good for that.
He was probably.
You couldn't say he was formidable.
I don't think once he. I don't know. Maybe it's in his draft profile somewhere. Let's
but
go
then
back
we
and
saw
look.
Him. Then we saw him.
Right.
And, like, okay, well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when Daquan Jones was what we thought we needed next to Ed Oliver when he was before he tore his pec in that game in London against Jacksonville, I think he was formidable. Formidable. I can't do it.
I'm tripping now too.
I think it's good. I like it. I think it's more than
here,
fine.
Here, okay. Here, we'll rank F words. Here is a point in your favor, I think. And now it's a third pronunciation, but in French, there is this word. And it's pronounced formidable.
Of course.
Which means awesome.
All right. Let's go.
So I think you probably have it. Because formidable is formidable, which means awesome.
Yeah.
Kenneth Grant, I'd rather read Kenneth Grant is an awesome defensive lineman. Feel like that would be better. He's not, I don't know if he's going 31, if he's awesome. I'm looking for awesome here.
Does this mean that there isn't a French way to say awesome? Like, that's it?
That's it.
Formidable?
Formidable was the word. That's the word right. That means awesome in French.
Right.
I'm sure there are others that come close, just like there are in English.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, what did we do? What did the English do to co-opt formidably to turn it into just formidable, which doesn't equate to awesome?
You know how it goes with words over the years. They change their meaning sometimes. A lot of words have done that.
I enjoyed this ride.
See, and it didn't have to be longer.
No, that's absolutely right. Good thing. If we'd have waited, like, I got a thing for 3:02 tomorrow, and it was this.
And I would have left here going, I forgot the F word. So we didn't. We're on it. We were on it. We didn't forget. Paul Hamilton's favorite F words after this break, the update. We'll get into the Sabres game tonight next on WGR.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.